Amen. He took all the good things to say. But truly, I'm thankful for the Arthur family. They have been a blessing to me and my family. It's always good to see the bishop. I call him the bishop. I don't know if y'all call him that, but I call him the bishop. When I see him, he's always the same. Amen. When I see Jesse and Winston and Nolan, and I haven't met the daughter, met the mom, they just all seem to be the same every time I meet them. And that just lets me know that they don't put on a front. I like being around real people. Amen. And real people are a hard thing to come by in today's world. We have social media. Y'all know how all that works, where they put what they want you to see on social media and make you feel like they live this glamorous lifestyle, or make you feel that they're some way, other way. But when you meet them in person, it's just like, no, I didn't get that, you know. But I saw on your social media page, and what I'm feeling from you right now, it just ain't adding up. But they are real people, and that's what I appreciate about them. Clap your hands and give just some praise for your pastor, bishop, the Arthur family, the great people. I truly count it as an honor to be here today. I'm thankful for their leadership in the Indiana District and the Global Missions Department. You are still the Global Missions Director, correct? All right. Amen. And leading local assemblies just around the state of Indiana and just revival here in the city of Richmond, Indiana. I was here a few weeks ago. Was it about a few weeks ago, right? About 3 weeks ago, and they had an outdoor service downtown Richmond, and the power of God fell. Amen. You know, in a time where everybody is fearful to come out of their homes and go into open areas to do anything, you guys have decided to step forward in faith and just preach the gospel to your community. And so it just further lets me know that I'm in the will of God, just knowing that you all will be out this Friday. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so with that being said, if you just open up your Bibles to Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. We'll read verses 5 and 6. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you for making me feel at home. Every time we leave World Evangelism Center, I think about home a lot when I'm gone, but coming here and seeing you all dancing and shouting, that makes me feel like I'm at home. So I feel good. Amen. You know, you walk in some places and you can hear pins drop in the service. I'm like, am I in an apostolic church? But that is not so here, and I'm thankful for that. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 5 and 6 says, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Number 6, he said, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. If you could set your Bibles down and just lift your hands and just worship the Lord for a moment. Amen. I want to tell somebody today that what you receive from the Lord today will be based upon how you respond to the word in the presence of God. If you don't respond to the word in the presence, then you'll walk out of here the same way that you came in. But if you respond to the presence and the word of God, then you'll walk out of here changed. You'll walk out of here new. You'll walk out of here with a word that will change your life forever. You just lift your hands and just worship the Lord for a moment. Father, we thank you right now, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, for the presence, God, that we feel today, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord God. Lord, for just allowing us to make it to the house of God safely, Lord God. Lord, allowing us to be in the place, Lord God, where we are standing under an open heaven, Lord God. Lord, where the angels are descending and ascending, Lord God. And you are standing, God, above this place, Lord God. Oh, God, your desire is to pour out deliverance, healing, and breakthrough, Lord God. So I pray today, Lord. Lord God, that you will search the hearts of every individual that is in the room, Lord. Cut us open this morning, Lord God. God, perform spiritual surgery, Lord God. We give ourselves to you, Lord God, to speak, Lord God, to do, Lord God, as you please in our lives this morning, Lord God. Lord, and I decrease, Lord God, and you increase, Lord. Lord, let my mouth be as a pen of a ready writer, Lord God. Speak whatever you desire to speak, Lord God. Do whatever you desire to do, Lord. And we give you the praise, honor, and glory in the name of Jesus. Come on, clap your hands and give the Lord some praise. Come on, you can do better than that. Just clap your hands and give the Lord some praise. For God has kept us in the year of 2020. And for that, he deserves all the praise, honor, and the glory. There's some people that didn't make it this year. But we are standing here today because of the grace and the mercy of our mighty God. Come on, clap your hands and give the Lord some praise one more time. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I want to preach to you just for about 20 minutes on the topic of you're in my seat. You're in my seat. I'm not talking about anybody in the room. Amen. So don't be going to tell folks you're in my seat. That's my seat right there. No, I'm talking to the devil. Tell him you're in my seat. In Jesus' name. You can be seated. Amen. Had to get some permission from the bishop. When God created humanity, he created us to have dominion and authority in the earth. We were created to be a projection of God in the earth. He created man in his image and after his likeness. Can we say praise the Lord? Created to sit in a seat of authority and to do God's bidding in the earth. Called to subdue, have dominion, and to keep order. You will find Adam exercising that authority when God brought the animals before him, saying, Adam, whatever you name the animals, that will be their name also. Revealing to us that when humanity is one with God, that's the key, one with God, we can be trusted to speak and to declare. Because our actions and words are filtered and led by the will and the spirit of God. Can we say praise the Lord? But it was through the cunning words and manipulation of Satan that swindled man out of that seat. And the Bible says that he became the god of this world, the prince of the powers of the air, holding all the world's human inhabitants captive. The Bible teaches that every soul, because of the disobedience of Adam, that everyone that is born into the world was born in sin and shapen in iniquity. God's order was disrupted and authority was stripped away from humanity because of the curse of sin. Satan ruled for centuries, unchallenged and unmoved. Many men carried out the will of God. Throughout the history of humanity, men like Noah, who found grace, meaning acceptance and favor in the eyes of God. He built an ark to preserve humanity from being completely wiped out from the face of the earth. He preached that it was going to rain for 120 years while holding on to the promises of God, even though everyone was against him. You had men like Moses, the deliverer, who was sent by God to deliver Israel from Egyptian captivity, having nothing but a rod and a word from the Lord to declare to Pharaoh, let my people go. He saw the mighty hand of God work on his behalf. He saw the Red Sea split. He saw a pillar of fire leading Israel by day and a pillar of cloud by night. He saw water come from a rock twice.
even though one time he was disobedient. He was able to be in the presence of the Lord for 40 long days, being in the presence of God so long that they had to put a veil over his face because his face shined with the glory of the Lord. Even the patriarchs of the faith mentioned in the chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews for their faith acts. Great men and women of God were born into the world and did great things for God. But the truth is they all suffered the same fate of death, torment because of a curse. But in the fullness of time, a baby was born. Thank you, Jesus. A baby that would go and change the world and alter the destiny of all that would receive him. God made himself a body. Am I in an apostolic church? God made himself a body. He stepped out of glory and he declared to the world that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he have anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He have anointed me to heal the brokenhearted and to preach deliverance to the captive and to recover sight of the blind and to set at liberty to them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Jesus came to set the captive free. Can you clap your hands and give the Lord some praise? Jesus came to set the captive free, understanding that to save humanity, Satan could no longer sit in the seat of authority, but he had to be unseated. For he was the real captor of our soul. He was the real slave master of all humanity. He was the destroyer of our souls. And it would take for a sacrifice that was without spot or blemish, thank you, Jesus, to suffer death for the curse to be reversed. And that was the price tag for sin. For God had established in the beginning that the penalty of death, that the penalty of sin was death. And I believe the word of God says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And so God's principles did not change. Jesus healed the sick. He raised the dead. He gave powerful word. But the book of John said that he would not commit himself to man because he knew what was in them. For there was a price tag that had to be paid for humanity to truly be free. Healing the sick couldn't do it, even though I thank God that God is a healer of the sick. Raising the dead up to the point would only give them a little while longer before they had to be laid to rest again. I thank God for raising the dead. But hear me, if Jesus would not have came and died, then those that were raised from the dead would have died again and went back to the prisons and Satan having the keys holding them down to eternal torment and suffering. Jesus, knowing this, preached that the hour is coming where the price tag had to be paid for the sins of the world. And when the time came, I heard the word of God say that he was beaten and bruised and wounded for our sins. He was bruised for our iniquities. He allowed men to drive nails in his hands and his feet and place him on a cross. He bore the sins of the world and he never opened up his mouth to mumble or complain. I grew up in the old church where they used to sing a song that says he never said a mumbling word. He never said a mumbling word, but he died for me. Come on, church, clap your hands and give the Lord some praise. He hung on that cross, bearing the sins of the world, and he died. But I thank God that at the point of the death of the cross, as they so beautifully sung that song just a few minutes ago, the Bible says that when he died, the earth shook and the grave were open. And there was a mass exodus of the old time saints that got up out of their graves and they began to show themselves to many as an indication that the curse had been reversed and the veil had been torn and sin had and the debt for sin had been paid. Come on, church, clap your hands and give the Lord some praise. for the grave had no more victory over them. They were no longer held down by a curse, but the price for their price tag for their souls had been paid. And the Bible says that Jesus rose up 3 days later, having the keys of every prison door, declaring, "All power and authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth." He got up victorious, holding the keys of death, hell, and the grave within the grips of his hand. The authority in the earth had been restored back to the sons of God. And the Bible says that he ascended up on high and he sat down on the right hand of the throne of God, expecting until all of his enemies, that means COVID-19 too, that means cancer, that means HIV, that means all of our enemies, is going to be made his footstool. You got to understand that the right hand of God is not a permanent place for the Lord Jesus Christ, but the right hand of God is a place of power. It is a place of authority. And as we read in Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible says that we were made to sit together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Let me tell you something, my brothers and sisters, because Jesus sits in a place of authority, you've got authority when you receive the Holy Ghost, when you're baptized in Jesus' name. You got the authority with God. Come on, clap your hands and give the Lord some praise. Mainstream Christianity would try to dumb down or try to water down the truth of God's word by trying to declare to us that the right hand of God that Jesus sits on is the place that he sat on all the way back in eternity, trying to separate God and Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But I heard in the book of Revelations that there was one throne that was in heaven, and it was the throne of God and of the Lamb. Let me tell you something, my brothers and sisters. It was not just a regular, ordinary man that stepped down and died for you and I, but it was God manifested in the flesh. For the Bible says that the sacrifices of blood and bullocks, he said, thou wouldest not, but I prepared myself a body. He said, in the volume of the book, that means at the tipping point of the extreme measures of humanity, when everything was in chaos, when everything was boiling over. You got to understand that during the time of when Israel was under Roman captivity, the Romans were the world superpowers of that time, and Israel had begun to install people in the priesthood that had no business being there. They were so far away from God, but God said, lo, I come in the volume of the book. That means that in the point when it seems like that everything is falling apart, even in the year of 2020, this is the year that Jesus is going to decide to show up and have all out revival. Hear me, brothers and sisters, because you stand with God, you've got authority with God, and because you decided to step out in faith and say, you know what, COVID-19 don't scare me. There's not a devil on this earth that scares me. Let me tell you something. You're going to see the power of God working on your behalf like never before. He said that we were made to sit together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, because Jesus sits in a place of authority. My brothers and sisters, you sit in a place of authority. Let me tell you something. When you get the Holy Ghost, you get power. I remember when I was a kid in the old time church, I grew up in one of those churches that they didn't say nothing but three words and the whole church blew up. I remember when the praise song leader would get up and they would just say, church, we got power. And all of a sudden, pews will be moved all over the place. Now we bolt the pews to the floor. But in the church I grew up in, all they had to say was Jesus. And the whole church will be tore up. Oh, my brothers and sisters, hear me this morning. You got power with God. But Satan is not giving up his territory without a fight. There is a war that is still going on in the earth. Even right now, there is a battle for the seat of authority. There is a battle for the seat of authority in your home. There is a battle for the seat of authority in your neighborhood. There's a battle in the seat of authority in this city, in the country, and the world. Paul declared in Ephesians chapter number 6, he said that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against demonic spiritual authorities of Satan's kingdoms that has established seats of authority in the earth since Adam's disobedience in the garden, and he became the god of this world. And let me tell you something, the seats of authority are this: principalities, which are spirits that control and dominate our neighborhoods. Have you ever walked into a community and it's just written with something that is predominantly, maybe it's predominantly a sin of witchcraft in a neighborhood, or maybe drug infested, or maybe fornication, or whatever the sin may be. That is the principality that is holding those people captive. Then you have powers that dominate and control nations. You have rulers of the darkness of this world, which is the spirits that globalize, that operate under heavy demonic influence, that influence the elite of this world, that are above countries, that are above the law. And then you have the last one, which is spiritual wickedness in high places, which is the highest level of Satan's kingdom. You want to know why? Because it is spirits that try to infiltrate even the church of the living God. This is where the spirit of Jezebel operates. This is where the spirit of error operates. This is where doctrines of devils operate. But let me tell you something, my brothers and sisters, it doesn't matter what spirit is trying to operate, because we got the Holy Ghost. We got power with God. Hear me, my brothers and sisters, you've got authority with God. Paul was not just speaking according to this stuff because he just got it just by happy stance. But Paul, who was the individual that wrote most of the New Testament, he was speaking by experience. He told the Corinthian church, he said, I fought beasts at Ephesus. He wasn't talking about literal animals, but he was talking about beastly like spirits, spirits that tried to come up against him, that was trying to push him out, that was trying to stop the move of God, that was trying to stop people from hearing about the Jesus name baptism, spirits that was trying to stop people from getting the Holy Ghost by whispering in their ears, saying that stuff is of the devil. But Paul kept on preaching, and he kept on believing, and he knew who he was. He knew because he had the power and the authority on the inside of him that there was no devil that can stand up against him. And because he stood in faith, there's a church that was built in Ephesus. Hear me, my brothers and sisters, I want to tell somebody that feels like there's a devil that is trying to come up against you, that's trying to hold you back. Let me tell you something, if you've got the Holy Ghost, then you've got the power to stand up and to tell that devil, you have no authority over me, because I got power with God. I got power with God. You want to know one of the biggest lies that Satan is telling people in the year of 2020 is that he is the orchestrator of all the stuff that is happening. Let me tell you something. The devil may be doing some stuff, but he's only doing it because God is allowing it. Did not the word of God say that it will be like this in the last days? He said in the last days, there will be pestilence and diseases that will be upon the earth. He said in the last days, perilous times shall arise, where many will depart from the faith. Many will give ear to doctrines of devils and seducing spirits. All this stuff was already talked about thousands of years ago, and the devil's trying to convince people that he's the one that's doing all this stuff. Let me tell you something, he's only allowed to do what God allows him to do. What God is looking for in this last hour is not just for people that know how to clap their hands and stomp their feet, but people that know how to get a word from God in prayer and take it out to the lost world and declare to a lost soul that Jesus is the answer for your problem. What God is looking for is for somebody to stay up all night searching the scriptures and letting the spirit of revelation hit them like never before, and then not laying over and going to bed, but going to go find somebody to tell them that there is a word that I've got to give from you for you, because God has given me a word that is able to set you free today. Somebody needs to tell the devil that you're in my seat. You're in my seat. The only way that the devil is able to sit in a seat of authority anywhere is if a child of God is not willing to stand up. We pray, we say, God, unseat Satan. God is saying, I gave you the authority to unseat them. People tell me, they ask me the question. I wasn't even going to bring it up until he said something. They say, what made you just start preaching on your front yard? Well, first of all, they surprised me, so I didn't have any choice. They just showed up at the house and was like, we want to hear a word. And I remember that moment like it was just happened a few seconds ago, as I was nervous, fearful even, because all of these people, they came out of their houses. You had people coming down the alleyway, people stopping in the middle of the street, getting out of their cars because they see all this stuff going on. I live in one of those kind of neighborhoods. Everybody's nosy. They see this little skinny guy up here with a speaker next to him, and he got a mic. They want to know what's going on. But in that moment, when I felt like I just wanted to give, you know, just the benediction. You know. You know how it is. But when I opened up my mouth, there was something that started stirring up in me. I'll never forget it. And I paused for a second, and the Spirit of the Lord began to press upon me. He said, now is the time. And as I began to minister the word of God, I didn't have no notes. You know, I didn't have my iPad in front of me. I didn't have a desk. All I had was a mic that didn't work so good, and a little bitty old speaker that really shouldn't have been loud enough to go but about a block, from block to block. But as I was preaching and ministering, it was like God began to magnify my voice, and more people began to come from across the neighborhood. We had a brother that was out there that just fell out in the gravel, began to worship in God. And the Spirit of the Lord hit that block, and we started having revival every week from that point all the way up until we moved into our new building. And God began to show me. He said, if you would just be willing to understand and just to know who you are, if you would be willing to step out by faith, and in the boldness of the Spirit of God, he said, don't worry about the words that you should speak. And he brought to my attention the scripture where he said, take no thought on what you should speak or say, but in that same hour, I will give you what to speak. See, I had gotten used to getting in front of my iPad and going down the list of bullet points. Oh, yeah. But God said, no. Everything that I speak through you needs to be from the Spirit. Now, I like my notes. But sometimes my notes got a little bit of me in it. Brother, have you ever been editing your stuff and you're like, no, that's too much of me. I got to take that out. Uh-oh, I'm in trouble. But God began to show me that there is no devil that can stand against his people when we step out in the faith and the boldness of the Holy Ghost. There was a man that came from across town. He told us, he said, I wasn't even supposed to be over here. He drove up in this big old F-450. I think it was one of them big old things that just took up the whole street. And he stopped right in the middle of the road, and he rolled down his window a little bit. You can see his little shades out. He just enough so you can see his glasses. And he just stopped right there, and I just immediately felt intimidated because I when I get out there and I just get to talking, the Lord just started having me call out everything. I'm calling out homosexuality. I'm calling out every sin in the book. And so I'm like, Lord Jesus, he might shoot me. He pulled down his little window, and he sat there for 20 minutes with his shades on. Somebody pulled up behind him. He pulled up into the alley. He got out, still having the shades on, leaned up against the truck, and just kind of looking. And at the altar call, he pulled off his glasses, and they were bloodshot red with tears coming down his face. He immediately, as we began to pray for him, he lifted his hands and just began to call on the name of the Lord and began to talk about his situation and circumstance. Let me tell you something. If I would have allowed fear to rule my life, if in that moment I would have gotten so intimidated that I would have just dialed it down a little bit. You know how we do when we get around certain people where we say, you know what, I'm gonna say this a little bit nicer other than what God told me to say. But when you do it God's way, that's when you start to see things happen. That's when you start to see deliverance and breakthrough begin to take place. Why? Because the truth works. God's word works. And the Spirit of the living God that is living down on the inside of us, it gives us the authority to stand up against any principality and power and declare to them today that the souls in this community, they belong to Jesus. Hear me, my brothers and sisters, this morning. I believe without a shadow of a doubt, because Jesus rose up with all power and authority, that we've got a power and authority with God. I believe because Jesus set the captive free, we've got the word and the power to set the captive free. I believe everything that Jesus did, we can do and greater. You want to know why? Because he said, these works you shall do and greater. Stand to your feet. I don't know how y'all do the altar call here. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There's some people that is in the room that has been intimidated. Come on now. You've been intimidated by spirits. You've been intimidated by your past. It's the reason why some people can't move forward. Because every time they take a step forward, the enemy shows them three steps back what happened in their past. And they find themselves taking steps back, saying, I don't belong taking steps forward. I don't belong in the place that God shows me in my dreams. But I've come to tell you today that if you've got the Holy Ghost, you've got every right to everything that God said is yours. It's not because we're perfect. It's not because of any of our abilities. But it is because Jesus said, it's yours. I want to tell somebody this morning that has not received the Holy Ghost, that has not been born of the water and the Spirit. I got to a place where I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. Do y'all say that here? Okay. Let me explain to you what that means. That you're tired and you're sick of being tired. Tired of being ran over by the devil. I hadn't always lived for God. I'm a pastor's kid. Walked away from God. And when I came back, I knew absolutely nothing about God once again. At least I felt that way. Because I had been gone for so long. I remember I was in the church, my first service back, I had my Bible. My dad was like, turn to the book of Leviticus. I'm like, I'm in trouble. I'm in the New Testament looking for it. And one of the old mother, she just passed away, Mother Mary Young. She saw me struggling, and she said, baby, it's going to be all right. She helped me find the scriptures. And she told me, she said, you take that word. You take it everywhere which you go. Everywhere that you go. She said, make it a part of your life. I took those words to heart and I studied the word of God diligently. But I was in that place where I was lost. I've been there before, being tormented by devils, feeling like nobody loved me, which that was not the truth, but that's what the devil told me. I know what it feels like to be confused 24 hours a day. Am I talking to anybody? I know what it feels like to want to take your own life because you feel like there's no future for you. There's no hope. But I want to tell you this morning that if you go down in Jesus' name, if you allow God to fill you with His Spirit, I'm telling you, every tormenting spirit has got to let you go. Every devil that is coming up against you, he's got to back up. And you will walk out of here with authority to tell every devil in your house, you can no longer live here anymore. But this house shall serve the Lord. Will you lift your hands and just talk to the Lord right now? Come on, just talk to Him. Just talk to Him. And if you need a change in your life, I want you to come out of your seat and just come to the altar. Come on, church. Come on, my brother. Come on, my sister. Come on, there's a change waiting for you. Come on, tomorrow's not promised to any of us. But I tell you right now, today is the day of salvation for you. There's deliverance for you. There's healing for you. There's breakthrough for you. God wants to give it to you. But you got to be willing to respond to the presence of God and the word of God. I told you before, what you get out of this service will depend upon how you respond to the word and the presence of God. If you respond to the word and the presence of God, Maybe you haven't been baptized in Jesus' name. Today is the day that you ought to get baptized in Jesus' name. Maybe you haven't spoken in tongues. Today is the day for you to receive the Holy Ghost. Maybe you're being tormented by a spirit. Today is the day of your deliverance. Today is the day of your breakthrough. Don't walk out of here the same way, but there is a new changed life that God desires to give you today. Come on, church. Come on. Come on, church. Come on. Come on, somebody. Come on, tell that devil, no longer can you sit in the seat of authority in my home. No longer can you sit in the seat of authority in my community. I'm telling somebody today that God moved you where you are because he's called you to sit in a seat of authority in that neighborhood. And it should be that no devil can come into that neighborhood and do as they will because you are the one that is in authority. Because Jesus sits in a seat of authority, you've got authority with God.
Overcomer, I am an overcomer. By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of my testimony, an overcomer. I am an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of my testimony, an overcomer. I am an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of my testimony.